Turn, if you will, tonight to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, you're always kind of looking for something, seemed like. When we're young, we're looking to get older. And when you're older, you're sometimes looking to get younger or whatever. But, you know, I can remember growing up, and I just couldn't hardly wait till I could get a job, you know. Go to work, make money, and think you had it. And then when you got to go to work and graduate and get you a home, and you always seem to be rushing things. Now, as you get older, it seems like you're looking for that glorious appearing, coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, it seems like you just can't wait. With all the trouble we find in the world today, man, I just look at the things we find going on around us, the troubles, the heartbreaks, the senseless murders that we see, you know, just things like that just break our heart, and we are like the book of Revelation, say, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. Well, recently we've heard of the earthquakes. And you know, every once in a while you hear one like we heard in Haiti that just wiped out families and killed hundreds of children and adults. And we think about all the tragedy in the pain in those situations. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, and we see in verse 32, I've got to turn that thing some of the way it's knocking. There you go. We see the tragedy of life, and in verse 32 it says, but recall the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproachers and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plunderings of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for those that have come to Christ. We thank you, Lord, this morning for the Bible study time, how we see that we had a great increase. And Lord, for the worship time where people came and, Lord, people rededicated their lives to you. Lord, I thank you so much that we can come tonight and just study your word. And, Lord, look forward to the promises of God. Lord, I pray that tonight, if there's someone that's lost, that they might come to trust you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we just pray that we'll get our lives right before you, that we can have revival in our own heart. We give you all the praise and glory, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. There was a huge earthquake, and a house fell, and the man was out. He came home to find his family. Some of them standing outside, but his precious little boy, the one he loved to do things with, and he was buried in all the rubble. He began to pull out boards and search for his son. He knew about where he might be found, his body might be lying. They told him to stop, you know. 2 hours passed by, and he was still digging through all the rubble and shoveling and digging, and his hands bleeding from all the pain. And 4 hours went by, and 5 hours, and they said, "You might as well quit, you know. It's too late." He kept digging. All night he dug. And then when he got almost tired, he was calling out, and he heard a faint voice said, "Dad, I'm here." He said, "I'm coming after you, son. Hold on. Hold on." And he said, "Dad, I knew you would come. I'll hold on." You know, we go through life's troubles. I tell you, man, we have all kinds of pressures. As adults, we have pressures. Seems like sometimes the world is crumbling in around us. We have problems. You teenagers, I know you're going to grow up, and there's going to be all kinds of problems and pressures, some physical, some emotional. Adults, we have them, don't we? We're always worrying. Not about, you don't have to worry about his salvation, but I found out we never stop worrying about our kids, you know? But that's just part of life, and there's spiritual pain, and there's suffering, and there's financial, and there's marital problems people will have. But listen, perhaps you're wondering right now, how it's going to all work out. I got some good news for you. Hold on. Just hold on, he says here in Hebrews. He's coming. He's coming. Jesus is coming. He says, hold on yet for a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Oh, when I think of the world and I think of the pain and I think of what's going on in our government and our world all around us, how the war over in Afghanistan and Syria, and you see all the executions on television and you wonder, what in the world is going on? They were having a tough time. Look at what he says. You're made a spectacle, both tribulations, partly while you were became companions of me, for you had compassion on me, and you've endured, accepted the plundering of your goods. They were stealing their goods and putting them in prison and all kind of things. But, you know, he says, hold on. Just endure. Keep on enduring, one, for your sakes. Hold on for your sake. Not only that, hold on for others' sakes. And hold on for heaven's sake. Hold on. The writer uses that word illumination. And he speaks of a time when out of the darkness comes the light. Once you were in darkness, but you've been illuminated. The light of God has filled your heart. It's come dawn. You know, there's no time to me any prettier than the breaking of daylight. Nothing's changed out there. I spend a lot of time in the woods, and I spend a lot of time by myself. And Rhonda doesn't like me to go down into the woods and down to the farm by myself, because there's no telling what's down there. Nowadays, we live in a sick world, and I know I get down there sometimes and it's dark, and I'm not one that just loves the dark, but I know, and you know, you go out and you stay somewhere and you're by yourself and it gets dark, and I always tell myself, well, me and the Lord's here. If anybody else is out there, well, I don't know about it. It's just the same as it is daylight. And you know what? Dawn's going to break in a minute. Just a little while. just hold on. It'll be daylight in a minute. And there's nothing any beautiful to watch the sun rise up over the trees and breaking of day and the birds begin to sing. All the world begins to shine because of the illumination of the sun that God has placed there. And he wants us to remember the early days, he says, of your salvation. And when you remember the early days of your salvation, you can hold on. You can hold on, man. Let me tell you something. I've got to hold on salvation. God is holding on to me. He's not going to let anything happen to me or anything happen to you that he doesn't know about and is not in his will, man. Let me tell you something. When I've been to the hospital this week, I've seen those that are there, and some of them have cancer. They don't know what's going on, but I listened to Connie the other day, and she said, you know, whatever God's will is, I'll accept it. Just whatever. He knew it before I did, and I thought, what a testimony. You know, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I can hold on. He's not let anything happen in my life that he doesn't know about. He's got it planned. He's got it all worked out. And, you know, I thought about my salvation. The day when I was saved, man, you know, when you was first saved, weren't you excited about that? I got so excited about that, I wanted to tell everybody. Because you know what? The penalty of sin had been wiped away. God washed it all away. You know, I thought about that. There's no more condemnation in my life. God says, no longer. You've been set free from all of that sin. You have your name written in the book of life, and I'm coming for you one day. Man, there's nothing better than that. I'm going to continue. When I was 13, I couldn't wait to get my first job. Now, somebody don't like jobs, but I was wanting to make a quarter an hour. I thought, man, I'm going to get wealthy. I worked all day for a dollar or $2, I guess it was. But, you know, I was happy. I couldn't wait till I was going to get 21, you know. And I couldn't wait for, we got married, man. I couldn't wait for that great day. And I couldn't wait for this day and on through life. And you know what? Now I can't wait for my glorification day. God's coming. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on to the faith. I'm going to keep the faith. The Bible says, keep that faith. You know why? I know that the time of my departure one day is going to be at hand. And now it's high time, he says, to awake out of your sleep. Man, are you growing in your salvation? You know, if you don't grow in your salvation, then you begin to worry. Old devil come along and say, you know what? Man, you can lose that salvation. People tell you all the time, well, you can lose that salvation. Well, let me tell you something. You can't lose your salvation. You can lose the joy. And a lot of people have lost the joy. A lot of people have got out of the will of God, and they're going the wrong direction. And I keep praying, Lord, bring them back. Let them remember that first time they were saved. You know, salvation is a promise. It's a guaranteed inheritance of a possession. We have eternal life. Nothing can take that away from you in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're outside of Christ Jesus, you don't have it. But look what it says. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also, having believed, you were sealed, the Bible says in Ephesians, with the Holy Spirit of promise. God put his Holy Spirit right in here. That's what makes me feel bad when I do something wrong. Amen. Some people say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I tell you what, if you do something wrong and you don't have no conviction that you've done wrong, something's wrong. Because if you do wrong and the Holy Spirit inside of you is going to tell you, you're wrong, buddy. You have lied. You have separated yourself. You're out of the will of God. You need to get back. I know the Holy Spirit's working. It's the guarantee of an inheritance also. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, man, I know I've got a place prepared for me because Christ said he would. Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And Paul says, I said Paul right here. the writer of Hebrews. Somebody don't believe Paul wrote this, but some do. But you know what? Whether he did or not, the writer says, hold on to that promise of God. You see, not only that, we endure. I know that we can endure. We can endure the hard times because Jesus Christ is with us day in and day out. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. No matter what we face, He's always there. He's always with us. Look at what it says. Enduring is pressing in and on. Man, we've got a enduring faith. It just keeps pressing. It's kind of like the Bible says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is pushing forward. I believe the church is there to push back those gates of hell. The claim, the promises of God, the claim, the lost souls for God. That's the church. We ought to be doing that. But as individuals, we also have an enduring. We're always pressing. We're always pushing. We're always running that race that God has told us to run. Endurance. That's the quality of a true Christian. Man, when they come by and say, hey, you got cancer and you know it's spread here and there, is it going to blow you clean out of the water? I hope not. I hope you can get with God and say, all right, Lord, this is one more of those things that we're going to endure together. We're going to press on together. You see, that's what we have to do in our Christian life. Just keep pressing on, knowing that we're going to hold on. He's going to come back sooner or later. He says, I'll come. Endurance speaks something of separation of the sheep and the goats. Now, on earth, there's two kinds of people. The Bible says there's the sheep, God's sheep, and there's the goats. Man, I want to be a sheep, don't you? I have the great shepherd as my tending the flock. And we can endure knowing that we are His. Proverbs 24 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now think about that. How are you going to hold up under adversity? How are you going to hold up under trouble? As Christians, we ought to endure. We ought to hold up. Man, I tell you, some people said, I don't understand y'all talking about Christians, how you can come to a funeral and say it's a celebration. I said, you just don't know our Jesus. You see, Jesus says we have already won the victory. And if we let a little thing like death tear us down, man, our strength is very small, isn't it? Man, look at what 2 Timothy 2:3 says. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Folks, we ought to hold on because we're good soldiers in God's army. Man, every single one of us that are born again ought to be a soldier, a good soldier for Jesus Christ. We ought to stand firm. We ought to hold up under adversity. Now, if you're growing in your Christian faith, yes, you're going to have all kinds of trouble, but you know what we ought to be holding up? Our life shouldn't be falling apart. Sometimes people say, well, how are you doing? No, I'm doing pretty good according to the circumstances. Well, like someone said, man, we don't live according to our circumstances. We ought to live above, on top of our circumstances as Christians. Man, we ought to hold on because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Man, when we sing that, Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, man, I love that song. It says so much in those words. A lot of times we miss the words of our songs, but listen to them. I like that, whosoever meaneth me. Man, when I came to Jesus, it meant that at whosoever, it meant me. And I came to him. So we've got a great thing to do here, he says. Therefore, hold on when you remember your salvation that you have. Then he says, hold on for others' sake. Look at verse, it says 33. Partly while you were made a spectacle, man, holding off companions. They were holding on for Paul's sake. You know, it's been my experience as I endure, as I walk the Christian walk, I'm influencing other people. Now think about that. As you walk the Christian walk, somebody's watching you. Hold on. Endure for others' sake. You don't know what little child, you don't know what teenager, you don't know what adult is watching your life. And if I don't hold on, if I'm not able to stand up under the pressures of life, as I say, you know, we sing victory in Jesus, and then we go out here sometimes and walk like we don't have any victory at all. Man, we need to live that. If we can sing it, we need to live it, because others are watching us. When we go places, how we behave. You know, Daniel prayed for his friends, and we must pray and pray hard for those whom we love. Man, we must pray literally a wall around them. I just, on Sunday mornings, I pray, Lord, bind Satan away from this place. You know why? Because he loves to get in. He loves to come into a church. He loves to disturb it. He loves to cause conflict. You know what? Every time you give an invitation, man, let me tell you, the old devil loves it when people get up and walk out. You say, well, I didn't do that. I know you didn't do that. But you know what? That's of the devil. You know, people get up and, you know, I watch, I hear, and I ain't complaining any, but how many times when a preacher, I've noticed it when we have revival, I've noticed when we have different things, how many times when a preacher starts coming down for the invitation, everybody starts folding up their purses and everything, getting ready to go. You ever watch that? That's the most important time in the service, isn't it? It's not a time to get ready to leave. What are you telling? What do we tell people? You know, this is just one of our pet peeves that preachers have, I guess. What do you tell people when you start pulling up your purse, or men are getting ready, putting their coats on like they're fixing to run out of here? That the invitation is not important. I've got to get out of here. People don't make decisions that way. You ought to be standing there praying for that boy or that girl or that father or mother, all binding Satan away from them. It's not over. It's the most important part of the service, is when God's work is being done, convicting someone in the old devil. You got to go to lunch. Wished I'd have preached on that this morning. I will next week, maybe. But you know what? Satan loves to tear down the fellowship. Satan loves to get into a church and cause a ruckus there. And, you know, I believe every one of us, if we prayed, Lord, bind Satan away from my life, bind Satan away from our church this morning, pray that next Sunday morning. Let's all just bind Satan away from our church, that he can't get in here, cause any disturbance or anything like that. Others are watching, and we need to hold on for others' sake, you know? Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Man, you know, if we start doing this, maybe others will follow. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able, what? To comfort those who are in trouble. Man, our life should be one that we're holding on firm in our salvation. We're holding on firm to God, that we might help others in time of trouble. You know, I've had people come to me and say, you know, I didn't know why God took my child, but I do now. I've been able to minister to other parents who's lost their children. And I thought, man, you know, that is so sweet. That is so way to look at something that most people wouldn't even think about. God is able to use me to help some other one. And that's what the Bible says here. Why did my father die? Why did my wife have cancer? Why did my husband have cancer? Why did I go through this situation? It could be that you might live a strong, true Christian life, that you might help somebody else. That's what the Bible says. That we may be able to comfort. What's that? Comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I believe with all my heart, if we will grow in our Christian life, if we will grow in our faith, grow in our salvation, let God use us in such a way that God will bless our others through our lives. And that's what it's all about. Holding on for others' sake. Holding on of compassion. Jesus was a compassionate man. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. He was touched with compassion. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is the measure of compassion to help us. He used that in the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus is the Father to embrace and forgive us, to welcome us home. In 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, "Finally, all of you be in one mind, having compassion for one another. Love brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous." Man, that's what we need to do as Christians. Hold on, he says, for others' sake. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. And lastly, hold on for heaven's sake. You know what? I live in America, one of the greatest countries alive. Still, I believe, the greatest country. But my membership or my citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. I have a dual citizenship, I guess you could say. For our citizenship, the Bible says in Philippians 3:20, is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. Hold on for heaven's sake. Our citizenship, we're just strangers and pilgrims, the Bible says. As Christians here tonight, you know that this world is in turmoil. You see it going downhill. I hear parents saying, "Oh, I pray for my grandchildren that are going to have to grow up in this world. They don't know the country as we knew it." And you know, I knew all along in our country, we've had problems ever since early times. But there wasn't as much crime, seems like. There wasn't as much hate that fills the heart of people. There wasn't as much destruction and stuff like we see, you know, in Ferguson, Missouri, and different places like that around the world. You know, we do wait for heaven. We long for it. I don't know about you, but I'm like that in the book of Revelation. Lord, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord. Where's our confidence tonight? Is it in this world? No, it's in Christ Jesus. Looking for that heavenly home. Keep looking to Jesus, the Bible says. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We started out by faith. Let's end it by faith. You see, God's promises are true. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again." We don't have to worry about that. He is coming. I don't know if it's going to be in my day or not, but I know he's coming. He's coming back. I'm going to meet him in heaven one day, whether he takes me by death or he takes me in the rapture, brother. You know, it's a win-win situation. when I leave this world. God's promises are true. Christ is coming, and you can count on it. He's going to come. Now, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. But it says here, if anyone draws back, if anyone draws back from that faith, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. Man, if you're here tonight and, you know, you wonder where everything's going, well, I don't know about where everything's going, but I know I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to hold on by faith till he comes. Perhaps you're thinking, you just don't know. Hold on. Keep holding on. When you think you can't, you know, have you ever had your mother or something, you was doing something and you hollered, Mom, Dad, come help me. A lot of times they'd say, hold on just a minute. Man, I was sitting there holding on and holding on. I didn't know if I could make it. But just in the nick of time, Dad got there. Always there. Mom, she was always there. Well, Dad's gone. Mom can't help much anymore. But I have a Savior who says, hold on just a minute. Just a little longer, I'm coming. I'm coming. I like that old story. We do a lot of funerals. And this lady, y'all heard it probably, about keep the fart. Woman told the preacher, she said, when I die, and I'm going to die, she said, at my funeral, I want you to place a fart in my hand. And he said, a fork in your hand? She said, oh, yes. And here's what I want you to tell them. When people pass by and they see that fork, you know, we have a lot of Baptist meetings where we eat, and they'll say, keep the fork, desserts. Last thing to do. When they pass by and see that fork, and they say, preacher, what's that fart mean? The best is yet to come. Remember, the best is yet to come. Folks, hold on. Hold on. Just a little longer. He's coming. I want to challenge you. Hold on for heaven's sake. Hold on for salvation's sake, and hold on for others' sake. He's coming just as he promised he would. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, then would you come? Would you come and know the salvation that God offers? It's a free gift of God. All you have to do is accept it. You can't earn it. It's given to you. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. And oh, what a beautiful gift it is. And oh, the eternal joy. Man, if this world was all that there is, the Bible says it's a vain life. We lived it vain. But that's not all there is. He's coming. He's coming. Hold on. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that this week that we go out, that our lives might shine for Jesus Christ. Lord, we won't live under the circumstances, but God, when people see us, they will see us and say, you know, they've got something that I want. And Lord, that we might hold on for their sake, that we might endure the afflictions, the hardships that life throws at us every day, and realize that it won't be long till you come. It's just a moment. You said, I'll be there in a twinkling of an eye. Bible says, like a vapor, you'll be here one day. Let us hold on for your coming. In Jesus' name, amen.